Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts. From the DeFont LeRoy Recording Studios in sunny Tampa, St. Petersburg, Florida, in westerly Rhode Island, this is episode 237 of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejado de las podcast. I'm Mike, down in sunny southwest Florida, joined by Mr. Klinsman up in westerly Rhode Island. Good evening, Mr. Klinsman. How are you?
I'm doing just fine today. How are you?
Good, thanks.
That's good. It's another just another day in paradise. Mid-September, still in the upper 70s, low 80s. Looking at the extended forecast, not too bad. I'm playing on borrowed time, but I'm enjoying it. And you know what? 2 weeks from right now, I'll be probably on my descent into MCO.
Oh, yes, sir.
My ears will be popping, but I'll be smiling. I'll have my my backpack. I got the golf clubs under the plane. I'll be ready. I am ready, sir. $41 a night for the first night. You gonna come hang out that night, Bill?
I haven't decided yet. I still don't, it's still up in the air, sir.
You're totally like if I was staying at like All Star Sports, you'd be there now camping out.
Probably, yeah.
But it's this $41 thing that's really got you.
Yes.
It had good reviews.
Thursday night or Friday night?
Friday night.
I'm flying in Friday night because I wanted the full day Saturday. You know, and the flights are cheaper, too. So, it worked out.
Yeah. Where are you staying again?
I think it's called the Clarion Main Gate East or something. It's like a mile from Animal Kingdom, so it's then that side.
Yeah. Okay, yep.
And it's not near any, like, 7-Elevens or what's the thing it can't be next to? A laundromat?
No, Waffle House.
Oh, yeah, no Waffle House. It's near a Chick-fil-A. How's that? That's not bad,
right?
I mean, I'd rather go to Popeye's Chick-fil-A chicken. Than Waffle
Popeye's
House.
Popeye's would be worse.
Yeah, Popeye's chicken, too.
Yeah, if it's, like, next to a CC's or something, that's a bad sign, isn't it?
Right, yep.
MLK Boulevard.
But I think it's okay. Plus, I'll have someone there to hang out with anyway, even if you don't show up.
Is he Ubering to this dump?
He's getting in early Friday.
So what's he gonna do? Like just sit in the main lobby?
I think
drink
he's just
like
gonna,
7 Ups out of the soda machine.
I think he's gonna go to Disney Springs and just walk around.
Oh, okay.
Because he's taking like one of those cheapo airlines that doesn't let you even bring a carry on, so he's gonna have to like stuff his golf clothes in his pockets or wear layers or something.
Oh wow!
You know what I mean?
He's just got like 9 shirts. Place to have a washer dryer.
Yeah. So I don't, like, you know, I think it's either Frontier or Allegiance or one of those real, real cheap
ones. Yeah, well,
when he
took a screenshot and sent me, like, he's flying round trip for, like, 119.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I hope this bird stays above ground, if you know what I mean. For those prices, Jurgen.
Yeah, we'll have to talk, because he's going to come on the show next week, so we'll have to talk to him about that. We'll get the full report, the preview of that.
Correct.
But... yeah, so things are good. I'm getting excited about the golf. I'm actually playing golf this Sunday coming up.
All right, so you're going to get some rounds in.
Have you been swinging the club much lately, sir?
No, I haven't hit a ball in about a month.
That was the whole thing. You wanted to get down there, play all the time. You don't even play, huh?
No, I don't play.
You just retire. This is going to be your 3 rounds and that's it? You'll be out?
Yep, and then I'll be done, yep.
That's okay. There's worse ways to spend 3 rounds in a year, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
You buy quite a bit of golf stuff for somebody who doesn't play much.
Yeah, that's true. I did get
Are you one of those nerds? You have like one of those like collapsible clubs. Remember those things from the 90s when you would take the club back, it would collapse?
The Medicus.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah. Yeah, it was called the Medicus, yes.
You probably had one of those, didn't you?
I did not have the Medicus.
No?
No.
How about Bill? Did he have one?
No, he never had a Medicus either.
No, that's true.
It's like a 7-iron, I think it was.
Yeah. I feel like that's something Dr. George Peary would have.
Oh, George Peary had numerous.
He had a set of Medicus.
He had a driver through pitching wedge Medicus.
The collapsible clubs. It's so stupid.
You have no idea what we're talking about.
Oh, sorry.
No, but Vito has a 7-iron.
Has a 7-iron.
Yeah.
Where it's in his car, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's like a Haig Ultra 1971. The treads are worn out. There's red marks all over it. I don't know what that's all about. It must be the range balls he's hitting.
Red striped range balls. Hello
there.
Exactly.
What else is new, sir?
Nothing. I'm just living the living a dream, semi-retired,
yeah.
Waiting for the pool to go in.
Yeah, what's the update on the pool? Because I just heard some news at work the other day, so I'm going to break the news very soon here.
You got something to break?
Well, they're doing like a furlough, whatever it is. They're closing the stores the week of Christmas, in between Christmas and New Year. So I have now an unplanned week off.
Oh, no. There's no way you're going to be able to come down here.
I was thinking of just, throwing your Gina in the minivan and driving down, road trip.
Oh. Sweet. All right. It should be done by then.
I don't think I'll get permission for that, because it's, the day after her birthday, and I don't know what the plans are for her party and stuff, so.
Oh, the mini.
Have a party early.
Yeah, do That's it early.
True. I don't even know if, I can't imagine driving 1,300 miles with her. How that would go, just her and I. Because I'd have to stop. I couldn't go straight through.
Right.
You know, at 2 full days on the road there and 2 full days back, I don't think it's going to happen.
I bet she'd be better than you think.
Oh, I'm not worried about her. I'm worried about me. But I also...
Maybe you could enlist one of your siblings.
Yeah, maybe. That's true. But the other problem is, I looked at, flights. I was, I'm just curious how much it would be. And they're $359 each way. I said, have a good day.
Yeah, that's 700. Fine. That's okay. I'd rather walk.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, drive me.
But I'm sure I'll just end up going to Mystic Aquarium 4 days in a row in between the holidays. So
I'll send you pictures.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
Wouldn't it be nice sitting out there watching some college football?
What? Oh, the bowl game's on all day.
Yeah, a little SEC championship, Big Ten championship.
Well, beautiful. I don't think it's that early. That stuff's a little... This is after Christmas, Bill.
Oh, all right, then we'll watch bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you said it was before Christmas. My bad.
No, it's the week between Christmas and New Year. They're closing.
Okay. Oh, that's a good time to be down here.
Mm.
Gentlemen.
We'll see. It's not happening. I haven't even, thought... I haven't, planned out logistically or anything, but... Plus, I'd have to take both of them. Couldn't leave one back. Because Sarah, she has to work that week, so this would be...
Ah, take them both. We'll have a blast.
Yeah.
Nobody Maybe in your you... family is going to be here that week?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Seems like a prime time for a Disney vacation for the Aruna family.
Yeah, except for the prices.
Yeah,
that's that week.
True.
I couldn't have met. What? You should fly up and then drive down with me, be my co-pilot. Now that's...
If that's what it takes, Jurgen, I'll fly up.
Oh,
if that's
man.
What it takes.
I don't know. I don't think it's happening. We'll talk about this later.
I'm going to force your hand. I'm going to book a ticket tonight.
You'll just be up here, one-way ticket.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, we're leaving. Let's go. Pack up the minivan. Let's
That's
go.
That's the stuff of nightmares for you. A one-way ticket into PVD.
December 27th. Oh, that would be
Stay
awful.
With my mom, Bill.
No.
He's going to have a panic attack.
Yeah, I am. Right here live on the Por Favor podcast.
Just one-way into PVD.
Staying with my mother-in-law.
Oh, no.
Heart palpitations. Why do you have beads of sweat over you? Oh, no reason.
Sir?
Would you like to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week this week?
I'd love to.
After a brief hiatus of having a broken refrigerator, I finally cleared out the old one, went to Home Depot, bought a dorm fridge for the beers in the garage, and I have the Maritime Lager from Newburyport Brewing Company. Mm. Let's see what this says here. Brewed by Newburyport Brewing in Newburyport, Massachusetts, and under special agreement in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. I don't know what that means.
Hmm.
And this is just a regular old lager, 4.9% alcohol by volume. And it says, work hard, drink easy. It's very good. I like lagers. I'm a big fan of lagers, Narragansett Lager. I think Budweiser's technically a lager. Am I right about that?
Yes,
yeah,
correct.
So that's my kind. So you would probably enjoy this out of any ones that I have, Bill.
Okay.
No added ingredients.
All right.
You know what I mean? It's just lager. Just a straight golden ale. Brewed for easy drinking. How about Susie? Do you have an unofficial beer sponsor this week?
I do. I have a J-Dubs Brewing Company out of Sarasota, Florida.
Ooh,
Bell Cow Milk Chocolate Porter.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds like something you'd be drinking,
5.6% by volume.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be asleep. Probably not because of the beer, though.
Nothing fancy about this one, unless, of course, you consider a generous portion of high-quality chocolate fancy. Oh, and we added a nice amount of lactose to give this beer a touch of sweetness. resting on balanced portions of chocolate, crystal and black malts, as well as a touch of flaked oats. At the bar stool or on the farm, we hope you enjoy our milk chocolate porter. Moo.
On the farm? What farm are you, like, never mind, because of the milk,
quite a bit of, you know, agriculture down here.
There is, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, because Florida is like the second biggest beef producing state.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy, Bill?
It is. Cause I remember when we drove from MCO to your house, we went by a lot of dairy farms or cow. I don't know.
And you know what the deal is? We found out is that you get special like tax exemptions by them near the highway for some reason.
Because that land's probably not as valuable and those dead spots in between, maybe.
Yeah, I have no idea, but you see a ton of cattle farms like right on the road, right, Susie?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's one like right where we used to get on the highway, and there was a big sign that said "Eat more beef."
That's not a bad drive that you guys have.
No, it's not bad at all, is it?
I mean, it's long, but it's pretty easy because you're on the highway basically the whole time.
Yep,
it's not terribly long. Like going for up for a day isn't unreasonable with that drive. You wouldn't want to do it 3 days a week.
It's not bad. It's not a bad drive at all.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't want it to be a commute, but. To get to Disney once every few weeks, it's not bad.
Right.
Not a bad drive. So, I have nothing else here, sir. I know we have a lot to get to in the meat of this episode.
All right. Does that mean you want to take a break?
Oh, you're steering this ship, sir. So, why don't you go ahead and make the decision?
Yeah, I'm going to decide that we're going to take a break.
Oh, good choice.
Alright, we're back from break, episode 237. Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, Susie and I down in sunny Southwest Florida.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
You're still in Westerly, right?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm just scrolling through my Facebook Messenger. I got a beautiful message this evening.
Yeah, what did it say?
It was pictures.
Oh, pictures.
I actually was thinking about like messaging you, like, what are we talking about this week? Because I never know when you're planning on having Susie with us. So I was like, all right, well...
Susie never knows either.
Well, because I figured we could either talk about the Eat to the Beat concerts or maybe something else. And then all of a sudden I see I have a message on Facebook Messenger and I look and it's just pictures. I said, what's going on here? I never get pictures from Jürgen. And then all of a sudden there's just pictures of menus, beautiful menus with a lot of years on it with wine pairings and fancy words that even I don't know. And then it dawned on me. We're talking... the granddaddy of them all. Like, forget the Rose Bowl. This is Victoria and Albert's, folks. This is the granddaddy of them all.
Yes. Now, before we get into it, I'm going to have Susie, if you can see the distinctions, if you want to read about the distinctions before we get into the meat.
Start at the top or in the middle?
Yeah, you can start at the top.
Okay. It says there are only 68 five-diamond restaurants in North America and only 64 Forbes Travel Guide five-star restaurants out of over 1,600 restaurants across the globe. Victoria and Albert's now stands as the sole restaurant in the state of Florida to receive both the AAA 5 Diamond and Forbes Travel Guide 5-Star Awards. AAA Diamond ratings represent a combination of overall food, service, decor, and ambiance. A 5 Diamond restaurant provides leading-edge cuisine of the finest ingredients, uniquely prepared by an acclaimed chef, served by expert service staff led by a maitre d' in extraordinary surroundings. Forbes Travel Guide star ratings verify luxury and represent outstanding, iconic properties with virtually flawless service and amazing facilities. Using the most exacting standards in the industry, this year's list evaluates properties in over 160 destinations across 50 countries.
So they don't just hand these things out like Tic Tacs, is what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay. No.
The Chick-fil-A by your hotel doesn't have one.
Yeah, you know what? It probably has a couple. There's worse places you could end up than Chick-fil-A.
It's true.
Not saying it's Victoria and Albert's, but it's not bad either. So before we get into anything here, when I first started looking at these, because you haven't sent me these menus until today, and the first thing I noticed, believe it or not, right at the bottom, Joffrey's Coffee and Tea. Right. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. They still get the ad in there. Resort Loop must be loving that money coming in from Joffrey's there. The Sulawesi Island Coffee by Joffrey's Tea and, I don't even know what that is, Frondies. Friandias. Problem is, I don't speak all the different languages necessary to read this menu. So hopefully you guys got a little bit of advice on that when you were going through. But how do you want to go through this? You want to just talk about your overall first impression and then,
yeah,
and then we can get into the food?
Yeah, sure.
So what was your overall first impression?
Susie?
It's a completely different experience when you walk into the restaurant because it feels so completely separate and you're right in the same, off the same atrium as we talked about before, as where you enter Citrico's.
Right.
So you wouldn't think it would feel that secluded, but it just feels like it's completely separate. I don't know if they have soundproofing or something like that, but as soon as you walk through the dorm, there's this beautiful table with these gorgeous orchids, and there's just one person waiting there for you, and then they, you know, call your server, and your server brings you back.
And he's the maitre d', Israel Perez. He was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
He basically knows you, like, as soon as you show up.
Oh, really?
Which is pretty scary, yes.
So is that all he does every day? There's only one maitre d'? Like, if he has vacation, they close it down? Or do they print a different person on the menu if he's out for the day?
They might have a different person, but he's pretty much
there. He's their head guy, right?
He's their head maitre d', yes.
But I think that he must get time off because he was talking about traveling to different countries doing research.
Well, maybe he gets paid for that. That sounds like a good gig.
Right, but I mean, if he's out in France somewhere, he's not at the hotel that night.
That's true. That's true.
So, we ate in a Queen Victoria room.
Okay.
And he brought us to the room. And there's a Queen Victoria room. There's only
four tables,
accommodations to 8.
Wow.
And as he brings us in, the husband and wife. Do you remember their names, Jack and Sherry? Jack and Sherry. They're husband and wives, and they were our servers. And as they're getting together the menus, they like, "Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Hurley. Welcome to Victoria and Albert's. Mr. Hurley, we prepared a menu that was free of caviar. And Mrs. Hurley, your menu is free of what didn't you want?"
Fennel and bell peppers.
Fennel and bell peppers.
That's pretty good.
It was just a happy anniversary.
Yep. Happy anniversary, blah, blah, blah. I mean, just amazing first impression.
Sure. Now, there's two rooms and then the chef's table. Is that right?
Yeah, they have a regular room, which I think seats, I don't know, I want to say maybe 20.
Yeah, I think, because I just watched Tim Tracker, he just went there.
Yeah.
And they did a video on it just the other day, I was watching it, and they said something like 24 in the main room.
Sounds about right.
Maybe
24,
like eight tables or something.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And then where we ate in the Queen Victoria room, it was just 4 tables.
And then the chef's table, obviously.
Which I think can accommodate up to 10 people,
you're correct.
But now there's no difference between the Queen Victoria room, like as far as what you get and the price, right? It's just you happen to be seated in there? Or is it a different service?
It's incorrect. You have more
courses.
Yeah, more courses.
Oh, so it actually is different.
I think you go in 7 in the main dining room, and what do we have, 10?
Mm-hmm. See, there's 7 or 8 in the main dining room and 10.
Oh, wow. So I didn't realize. I thought it was just kind of, if you're a party of two, they kind of shuffle you in there because it's more, it makes, okay, so that's cool.
No, didn't it's a realize bigger, that. A larger menu and more expensive, obviously.
Yeah.
Because well, you get more food.
So obviously this place isn't like, you know, run down or, you know, it's a gorgeous restaurant. You can't go into a place expecting so much from the food and not have it live up to it when you, you know, walk in. So you obviously were very happy with how it looked, everything about it.
Yes, very elegant.
Now, I saw they have like a, I don't know, a harpist. Is that the right word? Was there someone playing music inside the restaurant?
Yep. Yes.
And she was phenomenal. They actually sat me so that I had a direct view of her, which was really nice. They said that I had the best seat in the house, actually, for that purpose.
And so what did she play? She played Disney, like, regular tunes, right? Regular classical tunes and Disney tunes.
Stuff, like show tunes, and but, you know, kind of classical and some, you know, romantic, more romantic songs.
Yeah, so basically, I'm going off of, like, the Tim Tracker video that he just played, and they were showing her playing, and there were some Disney songs in there along with other things, so.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, like, low-key, though, even when they're playing the Disney song, it's not, like, upbeat or peppy. It's, you know, it's kind of more laid back and more background noise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you did mention that you, something about the china and
so when you the they placing. Bring you to the table,
mm-hmm.
it's set just with a charger, which is a plate that you would normally place other plates on top of.
Oh, okay.
And fresh flowers and some wine glasses. And the charger, the brand was like a French brand. It's called Cristofo. And it's very, very expensive. Like, I did some research and I couldn't find the exact pattern, but they're about $200 per plate.
Oh, okay. That's it.
So did you stuff those in your purse? And they removed them, before they brought out the first course. But it was a very, very nice first impression.
That would do nothing for me. They could have had a paper plate there, and I still would have been excited. But I get the point.
I mean, silverware. They had a huge box on a table next to the table that we were dining from.
Oh, to bring out the appropriate spoon or fork or whatever you need for that specific course. Okay.
Yes. Yep.
You know, white glove service, I assume.
Yes.
Yep.
And then they had all the different wine glasses.
Oh, did you do the wine pairing, Susie?
I did not do the wine pairing.
No. Okay.
I regret not doing the wine pairing, but I think with all the food, I was concerned that I would just be too full.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if we go back, when we go back, because I'm sure we will at some point, I might have to train for it.
Yeah, like Kobayashi for the hot dog eating contest.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, do they give you like any, I know they said here's your menu with none of this, because you talk to the chef or the maitre d' ahead of time, right? To set everything
it's
up?
It's just a regular employee, but yes, they call you and they ask you to verify the number in your party and they ask about any dietary restrictions or preferences.
Sure. So you go through that, and then they kind of just reinforce that they know that going in. But what other kind of information do they give you when you first sit down? Is there any, like, ramp, like, do they have any kind of, like, monologue that they say, or is it just more, just kind of...
No,
it's more of a general welcome.
Yeah, they did go over some of the upgrades, and that's when we met the couple from Sarasota who told us to definitely do
the Wagyu,
the Wagyu upgrade.
Okay.
And then there was another upgrade. It was like some type of pasta, right?
I see that on here. You could have got the black truffle.
The tagliatelle with the black truffle.
Yep. That was another upgrade. So they went over the few upgrades that you had. Asked you if you wanted to add the wine pairing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take a break and they give you a few minutes. And then she came back and I think asked if you wanted some wine. Because I think originally you said you didn't and then you
no,
came back.
First, but like when we first sat down, they offered us a welcome cocktail.
Oh.
Yep.
And they had two different options. They had a sweeter one and then they had kind of a more bitter one. So we had one of each and they were amazing.
Sure. And those are included in the price, or was that extra?
Yes, nope, they were included in the price.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of them actually was non-alcoholic, but you had the option to add alcohol to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were like four or five different flavors.
I think that's the one that I had, right?
No, I think that was the one.
Oh, was it? Okay. Because
mm-hmm.
mine looked like it was like in a long shot glass.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I want to say yours was like blood orange or something like that.
Yeah.
And mine was more fruity. I think it was like elderflower or something along those lines. And then there were different flavors you could add. So I think I added peach to mine.
See, that sounds like something I would never even consider ordering, but then you get it and it's probably delicious.
Yes, it was. Yes, you're right. Exactly. Never in a million years would I have ordered that, but then when I was having it, I'm like, wow, this is good.
Yeah, but then they asked about the wine.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have a traditional wine list. It's on an iPad.
Oh, I saw that. Okay. That's kind of cool.
It is cool.
It shows you the bottle and everything when you click on it and stuff. Yeah.
And it shows you the ratings and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I had asked for a suggestion, you know, for something that would pair well across the courses. And Sherry suggested something and she offered to let me taste it before I made a decision.
Mm.
So I did, and it was amazing. And so I had two glasses.
Nice.
Yes. It was very good. I think it was not cheap.
Yeah, I think they were 25.
It was like 25 bucks a glass.
Yeah, it's still cheaper than the 150 for the whole wine pairing.
Right.
So I have to ask, because we're kind of getting into it now. Tell me about the first impression. Do they bring out like bread service like other restaurants?
Three bread services.
Oh, three. Okay. So they're not only bringing you 10
courses,
you're getting
included
three bread.
They're not included as a course.
They're not included. Nope. Okay.
Interesting. How well? I mean, I imagine usually Disney's pretty good with bread service, so I imagine this had to be like some good bread.
Above and beyond.
Yeah.
So they're... pastry chef also makes their bread, and he was trained in Austria.
Oh, okay.
And it was phenomenal. And I really, really wish we had done this sooner, because it's been a couple of months now, so my memory is a little fuzzy. So I don't remember what the first one was.
It's just a pretty much a traditional white bread, I think, with like a sea salt type of butter.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds
good. It was
good.
Like a very specific sea salt from like somewhere in the UK.
Yes, it was like bluish or something, and they explained like how they got it off the rocks and
they kept it.
Yeah,
they served it in a Himalayan sea salt holder.
Oh wow!
So the holder itself was made of sea salt.
Did you like lick it a little bit just to see?
No, but I really wanted to.
I would have done that. Just like pretend you're looking at it. Oh, this is neat. And that's like stick the tongue out a little, just get a little taste.
Right. But I don't think they brought that out first. They brought the amuse-bouche first.
Yeah.
Oh, an amuse-bouche. Now, what does that mean?
So it means like a very small bite of something.
Okay.
That's supposed to open up your palate and prepare you for the rest of your meal.
Amuse-bouche. Delta asparagus with champagne and buttermilk. And then you had one with caviar, correct?
Caviar, yeah.
Correct.
Because you didn't want the caviar.
Correct. But I did try it.
Did you regret not getting it?
No, I don't regret it. It was, I could have eaten it if I had to, but it wasn't enjoyable.
It wasn't for you, yeah.
It was what I thought it was going to be.
It's like the texture, like little, like salty pebbles kind of, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like capers.
Oh, okay. I've never had, you know, like sturgeon caviar or whatever it is, but I kind of could get an idea of what it would be just looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, a more gelatinous caper.
Mm. I would probably like it, although I'm not going out of my way to try it.
I thought it was very, very good.
So the amuse-bouche was this Delta asparagus with imperial caviar for you, and then you had the champagne and buttermilk with the asparagus. Was that like a good intro into it?
Yes.
Did that like just blow your mind right off the bat?
Yeah, it was like, because you're not expecting it. It's asparagus.
Right.
But it's cooked absolutely perfectly. Little crunch to it, but not raw. I mean, just, it was delicious. Delicious.
I can't
and
even
imagine. That across the board, like, you know the food's going to be good when you go there.
Sure.
But you're just not prepared for how incredible everything tastes.
Yeah.
Like, every single thing that we ate was, like, the best thing we had ever eaten.
Well, that's a very high praise. So let's keep going into this, because I'm looking at these menus and I'm getting very excited.
So I think after that, did they bring the bread service? Or did the bread service, was it like the second or third?
I think the bread service came in between the seafoods.
Okay. Yeah, because I think they kind of set you up. So after the seafood, I think they give you bread service to introduce like the meats.
Okay.
And then they give you a bread service to introduce something else. So it's just constant layering.
Sure. And also, based on how long you told me you guys were there, I imagine they kind of give it time. They're not like watching you take the last bite of the asparagus, and all of a sudden the second course is out.
No. Now, one thing before we move on that was very cool is that they will not serve a plate if both people are not sitting at that table.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Like, when one person, you know, when the girl went to the bathroom, Jack and Cherry would be coming out with the plates, mm-hmm. and he would see that there was one person missing, and he would instantly turn around and walk right back to the kitchen.
Oh, wow. So, let's go. This second thing is really, it's got me interested. Alaskan king crab with sun-kissed melons and pink peppercorn yogurt. Now, Bill, this stuff sounds like stuff that doesn't go with stuff. Melons and crab and yogurt with peppercorns.
And I am not a huge melon fan.
Mm-hmm.
I like watermelon, and that's about it. But this was really good.
Was it?
Really good.
Perfect texture.
The crab was...
Yeah, insane. The crab was stupid, which you would expect.
Right. I don't think I've ever had Alaskan king crab.
It was crunchy, but it was soft. The perfect texture, the perfect...
Mm-hmm. And, like, it all really did go together really well.
Now, would that be considered, like, more of, like, a salad course, like a cold course?
Yeah, it was cold. Yeah, the crab was cold. Yeah, it was a cold course, yep.
Because it seems like a melon with the yogurt's kind of like a dressing, almost like it's like kind of like a salad, like their take on the salad course. But I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know enough about this. But it sounds, you know, that's something, again, that you would probably never order if it was on a menu.
Right.
But now that you've had it, you're like blown away by it.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is when they brought the first bread service, maybe.
In between these. Like, I'm looking at some of the things on here, and I was like, oh, I would definitely order that. I would definitely order that. Like, this one, the king crab, I wouldn't order that. If that was on the appetizer menu, that would be a hard pass for me.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying it was just fantastic.
It was.
And that's what I love. That's what I actually loved. I was a little wary going in because you don't really get to pick what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the amount of money, I'm like, well, I want to be able to tell them I want this, 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 and this. But now, you know, I'm such an amateur. You know, you think you're a foodie until you go to this place.
Right.
And it's basically like, just you do it. You're the artist. You're the master. Just do it and give me plates and let me see how they are. And,
oh, and that's what you're paying for. You're not paying for the food. You're paying for the whole overall experience.
Correct.
Of trying different things that you would never even think to try and being brought along on this journey.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that's really what, like, this is the chef and his staff just putting together a story or a song. Like, all these things work with each other,
right.
I imagine.
It's a journey.
Yeah.
It's not like this is a menu where you pick this thing. You need to have all of them in that order. You know, if they put a lot of thought and care into placing them together in this order.
Yes, it's highly curated.
And that's what I just didn't realize. I just thought you were just going to get 10 dishes of good food, but I didn't understand. I guess I didn't understand the journey until it was over.
That's very deep, Bill. That could be on like a mug.
I'm already thinking about putting together Jack and Sherry t-shirts.
Do you think that would go over well? You think a lot of people know who they are?
People who have been there. I have her number. I'll text her and tell her that I'll get her in on deal. But
you think she'd wear it to work?
Jack's signature phrase is enjoy. So he comes over and he'll be like, this is the Dover sole with blah, blah, blah. The chef presented this with blah, blah, blah. He sauced the sole from blah, 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 blah.
And yeah, each course there's like an explanation of why he did what he did and where the ingredients came from and what he was inspired by. And it's amazing. It's not like, oh, this was on sale at Publix, so this is what we're having for dinner.
Yeah, we were making chili the other night, and there was some leftover ground meat, so now you got tacos. Here you go.
Right.
So you had the king crab like that. Now another seafood course, John Dory with poppy seed and lemon ravioli.
Now this was actually the first course where we deviated, because mine was John Dory with root spinach and preserved lemon, because the ravioli had fennel in it.
Oh, so they even that, like, you probably wouldn't even have noticed, or... Like, because it was, like, built into the ravioli,
no,
into the filling?
No, I noticed because I tried Mike's and it was awful.
Oh, okay. So I didn't know if it was, like, a little bit, but it was, like, in the ravioli.
Yes.
Okay, so they
gave
you
a garnish. It was part of the ravioli, and so I was so glad that I had told them that I don't like fennel.
Right, because that would have ruined that course for you.
Mm-hmm.
So and it's funny because I don't like fennel, but I don't not like it enough to take it out of my dish. And
sure.
I thought it was delicious. She thought it was a little too overpowering because she hates fennel, but I thought the fennel was just a perfect addition to this dish.
Now, John Dory, I've heard of it. It's It's a whitefish, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
What would you compare it to? I don't really know a lot about it.
So the preparation that they gave to me is very similar to one that I use to make grouper. Okay. So I would compare it to a grouper. Wouldn't you say, Mike?
Yeah, kind of meaty, but yet flaky.
So more like a sea bass kind of in that vein?
Yeah, if that's what you know, yeah.
It's not a tuna or a swordfish, not that
no.
kind
no,
of. So
no,
it's more
no,
of a flaky whitefish. Okay.
Yeah, yep.
Gotcha. So poppy seed, lemon ravioli, and then you said you had the...
root spinach and preserved lemon.
That sounds pretty good, too.
It was really, really good.
And the flavors are similar, if you think about it.
Yes.
So you get the lemon ravioli with poppy seed and the fennel, and then you're getting the spinach, which is a similar type of flavor. It's obviously doesn't have the anise flavor like fennel does, but it's that strong bitter flavor.
Right.
With the spinach, and then you're getting the lemon preserve. So you guys are still
on the same page.
You're on the same page. Yeah, so it's kind of interesting even how they do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they just threw in, like, you know, a pumpkin ravioli. Like, put the other ravioli on there. They went out of their way to make it. You know, because I can't imagine it's every day that someone says, I don't like fennel.
Right.
For their menu. So it's not like they just have a fennel substitution. They actually put thought into mm-hmm. preparing this substitution for you, which is pretty cool.
Well, one of the other women in the room had said they used to have, what did she say they had on the menu? Was it grouper? It was a different kind of fish.
Mm-hmm.
But the preparation that I had was the traditional preparation for whatever that fish was. And she said it was really, really popular.
Oh, wow. I guess you get some people that go there all the time. You know enough of, like, the traditional preparations of certain things.
Yeah, so the couple that was seated before we were, what were they celebrating there, like...
One of their anniversaries,
15th anniversary or something like that, and they had been there 7 times?
Yeah, and a crazy number of times.
That's like a mortgage payment or 5.
Yeah, and he's a UPS driver.
They make good money.
And
yeah, they do.
She's, what did you say, she's a radiologist, I think?
Yeah.
Well, she probably makes good money, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, Bill, I broke up the pictures.
Yes.
And the bread service did come right after the asparagus.
Okay.
You did it?
Yep. Yeah, because here's the asparagus
mm-hmm.
dish. There's the bread service.
Okay.
And then we go into the melon.
Okay.
Yep, so that's when it did come out, Bill.
All right, so you've had your two dishes.
Yeah, the John Doerr, yeah.
And then now you're going another seafood, but this one's starting to bring the meat into it because we have a Dover sole... with the Spanish chorizo bouillabaisse. I can't say chorizo at Victoria and Albert's, can I?
No.
It's got to be like chorizo, right? I'm sure...
right there?
What was it, Sally and Ed?
That's
don't say
Dover
chorizo.
That's a Dover sole with spinach chorizo.
No.
Then it's this one, because it was red.
That's the sole.
Yep.
Now, it was this you both had the same, it looks like, right?
Yep.
Yes. And it was phenomenal.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, stupid.
Ridiculous. That was the dish where you said, I'd pay $50 to have, like, 3 more pieces of this.
Yeah.
It was stupid.
Now, a bouillabaisse is basically like a thin broth, right?
Am I correct in that? It's like a fish stew, sort of.
Okay.
But like more of a minestrone broth than a, like, sort of like a cioppino, I guess.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
And so that just had, you know, outstanding flavor in the sole. Obviously, like a fish like that will pair well with pretty much any flavor. You know, it really takes the profile of whatever flavor. And that's kind of a big, big jump. You go with the whitefish with the citrus
mm-hmm.
flavor into like a strong, salty, spicy flavor with another mm-hmm. whitefish.
But I thought the sole actually really stood out. Like it wasn't, like you could taste the sole.
Oh, okay.
It didn't just suck up all the bouillabaisse.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah, because you thought that it was going to be overpowered with the chorizo.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't.
Very interesting.
I think that was one of my favorite courses of the whole meal.
Oh, by far. I remember each course that came out, we said that was the best thing we've mm-hmm. ever had. And now as you get into 3 and 4 courses into it, you compare and contrast, and you're like, all right, the sole with the chorizo is probably right now my favorite.
So far. So each one's gotten better so far.
Mm-hmm. It almost did. We looked at each other. We said, it seems like each dish is like it's better than the previous one.
Interesting.
Which is impossible because you could order any single one of these at any other restaurant. It would be the best thing you'd ever eaten.
Right. And now at this point, that's a lot of... It seems like a lot of food. I know they don't bring out ginormous portions of this stuff, but it still seems like you're into it pretty good. Are you starting to feel the burn of being full? This is more directed towards Susie.
No, really not at that point because the portions really were small enough that they were manageable.
Okay. But the flavors are just so... I don't know if the food's rich, but the flavors seem like they're very rich and very kind of like...
They were... I would say the flavors were robust, but nothing was heavy. Does that make sense?
Yes, I understand.
Wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything to this point was sort of light.
Gotcha.
Because, like, when you asked about being full, it just kept piling on and piling on. And I think after about six or seven, I was still good. I'm like,
you were surprisingly okay.
Yeah, and I'm like,
until we got late in the meal.
Yeah, and then right toward the end, I'm like, I'm starting to get full. So it just kind of hits you gradually.
So each course left you wanting more of that course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Should we move on to the roasted French quail with corn pudding and spinach?
Now, did we get bread in between here too?
No, because we have this, and now we went to the bread. Now what's that? So this was the quail.
That was the quail. Yep. Okay, so we got the bread after the quail.
Yeah, and the quail was...
Like, I have to be honest, when they brought the menu out and I saw that there was quail, I wasn't sure if Mike would eat it.
Yeah.
And he loved it.
I thought it would be too gamey.
I had had quail before, and so I was excited about it because I like it. And then, I mean, corn pudding and spinach, how do you go wrong?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
It was incredible.
Sounds like more of like almost like their take on comfort food.
Yeah, sort of.
You know, roast poultry with corn and spinach. I mean, that's pretty...
New England Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, down-home kind of cooking that you can get on a menu like this.
But the portion was small.
Mm-hmm. Right, sure.
It was perfectly sized.
Now, how was the quail? Was it like a leg, breast? Was it half of the... I don't know like how they prepared it, obviously.
I think it was breast. I don't really remember, but
I mean, it reminded me kind of like of a braised short rib. You just broke it with your fork.
Oh, okay. Was it on the bone or no bone?
There was no bone. It was
boneless. Deboned.
Yep.
Very nice. Yeah, that corn pudding sounds good. I can only imagine what that was like. That must have been...
It was excellent.
Yeah. And now this one, you did not do the enhancement, right? You didn't go with the truffle pasta?
I kind of regret it.
We go to a bread service now.
Mm-hmm.
No, but the quail we could have...
Oh, correct. Okay, I'm sorry.
Would that have been a new course, or they would have added it to that dish?
They would have added it to the dish.
Because the couple from Sarasota did go with that, and they said it was phenomenal.
So they got both enhancements, that couple?
No, they didn't do the wagyu. They said that's maybe just do it one time.
Oh, okay, because you hadn't done it before.
I don't know if they did the caviar upgrade either.
Okay.
So you said another bread service over here, maybe, between these dishes?
This was lemon poppy seed.
Incredible.
Wasn't it the lemon?
No, it was herbed bread, and then the butter was herbed as well.
Wow, that sounds good.
It was insane.
I'm a bread person
to begin with.
Yeah.
And Mike, of course, as we know, does not like bread.
Except for Disney.
Right.
Disney bread is different.
But it was so light.
Yeah.
But there was so much flavor in it that they could have just served that as a course and I would have been fine.
Just think of how good that bread has to be. That you're eating some dishes that you say are the best things you've ever eaten, and yet you're going out of your way to just compliment how good the bread was.
Like, I wanted to lick the butter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was so good. And they make it all in-house. I mean, they make their own butter. Like, they make their own butter. Who does that?
Mm-hmm.
And it was good. I think it was the first bread service, the sea salt butter.
Mm-hmm.
The butter, like the cream came from like a dairy farm in Vermont, like some Vermont creamery.
Yeah, that's
like,
what...
Even, like, the cream was sourced to make the butter. It was just crazy.
Yeah, when I watched the Tip Tracker, they must have the same bread because they showed the butter. Like, the butter's from Vermont, the salt's from England, and the cup the salt is in is Himalayan sea salt. It's like, okay, I guess we're really on a journey here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you had the amazing bread after the amazing quail. I guess amazing is just the key to all this, tying everything together.
It was phenomenal. Like, you can't use enough superlatives to describe this meal.
So now we have a lamb loin with, I don't know what this word is, piperade?
Panisse?
No, the word before that.
Oh, Mike's was different. Mike's had bell peppers.
Was that what that is? That's a fancy word for bell pepper?
It was some kind of like a sauce or something that was made with the peppers.
And I don't know what panisse is either, but I could have figured out probably how to say that. And Kalamata olives, I know what that is. So lamb loin, I've had lamb, and that usually doesn't call for like strong flavor. Like Kalamata is a strong flavor.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a strange combination, but obviously, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about, and I imagine this was very good as well.
Mm-hmm.
So panis is a, it's a fried cake made of chickpeas.
Okay.
Garbanzo beans. Flour made from chickpeas. And so this was another one where I was like, well, Mike's not crazy about lamb. Mike's not crazy about chickpeas. But we both really, really loved it.
I mean, at this point in the meal, you basically trust whatever they're going to bring out. It's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, you don't you don't think you're going to be disappointed at any point now.
Yeah. Like the first course, when you see like king crab with melon, you're like, oh boy.
Yeah, oh but, no. And then, can I get a refund?
Yeah, but then all of a sudden...
Like, can I substitute this? But yeah, it was just another really, really good dish. And then we get to the beef.
Oh, boy. Now this, I know you guys got the enhancement on this.
We did.
So there's two... So it would have been the Kobe beef with the potato, and then you got the Wagyu on top of that. So I'm going to sit back...
Now, what was this dish? Remember the one that was black? And you thought it was going to be terrible?
Was that the potato?
Because then we go back to the bread service, and then we go to the beef.
Oh, okay. So that's the lamb. The black one was the lamb.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because the entire presentation was black. So the Kalamata olives were like, oh, a, that's right. Like a glaze. So it covered all of the lamb. So you got the olive flavor with each bite of the lamb.
Okay, so again, I keep talking about the trackers because they just posted. I think they had a very similar menu because they had the king crab with melon and some of this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about this course a lot. They said it was like supposed to be like a blackout. Like there's this new trend in dining where you dine in complete darkness, and this was like their take on it. Where the plate,
is that how it was explained to them?
Yeah, so the plate was black, and then the food, the sauce was completely black.
That's it.
Okay, so this is what. So that's a similar course then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same thing.
So that's interesting. And they didn't like this one. They said the sauce wasn't very good. That's what they said.
Maybe they have less sophisticated palates than we did.
That's probably very true. But oh, okay, all right. So now I'm kind of on board. I figure I know what's going on now.
So then we go to a multi-grain bread, and they bring the butter comes out, and it's all shaped in flowers, and he actually does that presentation tableside.
Oh, really?
So he has like a block
There's
of butter.
A gigantic chef's hat made of butter.
Made of butter.
And they shave the butter off of it to put it on the plate to bring to the table. I forgot to mention that second bread, the one with all the herbs, was a brioche.
Oh, okay.
So it was like almost like a dessert.
Yeah. Yes, it was. You said you could have had that for dessert.
But this bread was also awesome. Mike does not like multigrain bread typically.
But I did like this.
Again, at this point, you're going to eat whatever they put in front of you.
Right.
They could have brought out a raw bell pepper, and I think Susie would have dug into it and been like, oh, I'm sure it's going to be
not
good.
Not so much. I have my standards.
Oh, but you get what I'm saying.
Yes,
it's like your expectations are blown away every
right.
time. So talk about this beef. I need to know a lot about this. I've been obsessed with Wagyu beef. Like, I watch YouTube videos on people eating Wagyu beef and, like, cooking it in Japan, cooking, like, Wagyu beef that's been imported from Japan, and it's so intriguing to me.
Well, this
is like
fascinating.
It's like a drug. You know how like some people want to know like what happens when you take heroin? It's like, oh, it must be the most amazing feeling because people get hooked on it.
Right.
Like that's how I feel with Wagyu beef.
Like they were talking about how people like play classical music to the cows and they give them like baths and sake.
Massages.
Yeah, and they drink beer and stuff.
Yes. It was just insane to me. But I honestly have never had a better piece of meat.
Really?
Yes.
So it lived up to... So you were hyped up about this. Like, you're like, this is going to be... Can it live up to it?
Yeah, I really didn't think I was going to be impressed. Right, Mikey?
No. Because if you see...
like, for the price, like...
$55.
Insane.
Probably for, like, what, 2 ounces?
Oh, it was really small.
I don't
what they
even
said
know if it
was
2 ounces.
What they said was that they were going to split it so that we each got... So instead of me getting the upgrade with the Kobe, we're both going to be able to sample it and then have the Australian.
So we both had the Kobe, and then they split the
Oh,
Miyazaki.
So you only paid $55 once. You didn't pay $110
right.
for each of you to have.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's the Kobe beef, it was a standard dish.
Right.
Yes, I understand that. So you paid the 55 for the Waigu, but they split it between the two of you, basically.
Correct. Yep. Okay. Yep. And so it was a very, very small piece, so it was thin. So I could only imagine that if you were to get a 4 or even, God forbid, an 8-ounce, whatever that would cost.
Yeah, right.
I would think it would taste so much better because, I mean, the marbling was just amazing. Like, it was like an artist drew. I mean, it was like something I've never seen. It was, I don't know what your take was on it, but I thought it was very buttery.
Yeah.
Like each, it was very, it was like
they
really melted.
You really didn't need a knife.
Yeah, it was like they melted, like cooked it in butter. It was just very, very buttery and
velvety texture.
Yeah. Yep.
And then they had a sauce, and I can't remember. Was it like a Bordeaux sauce?
It was a green sauce. Yeah.
Oh, was it green?
Because I the Kobe is what I dipped it in. See?
Oh, was it chimichurri?
Yeah, it was like
no,
a
but there was something. Wasn't
that was
there something
potato.
In like a pitcher?
Right here. Yep, right there, that thing.
Which I think was some kind of like a Bordeaux sauce. Some kind of wine
really?
Sauce mm-hmm. that was insane as well. But the potato was incredible.
The potato was ridiculous.
So this potato pinwheel, can you tell me about this a little bit? Was it?
I can't remember. They like described the process that they make to use it, or I mean to that they use to make it. And it was so involved.
Like it sounds like it took hours for them to prepare.
Oh, really?
Like
yeah.
There were certain things they were talking about like, like with the amuse-bouche, too, there was, like, this egg thing. They're like, well, they take the egg white and they, like, put it on a baking sheet and, like, roll it out and then fry it or, like, bake it or whatever. And it's just, like, the preparation that goes into it. And there was something with that potato pinwheel, too, that was the same thing. It was like they, you know, shave the potato and then they bake it and then they roll it and then they bake it again or something. I don't even remember.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Nuts. But so again, just, like, you cut right through it with your fork. It was super tender. Flavor little, was incredible.
A little crunchy on the outside, soft on the inside.
Yeah, everything sounds good. So the Kobe, what did you try the Wagyu first or the Kobe first?
I tried the Kobe first.
Okay. It was, I imagine that was very good.
Yes.
Yeah. How was that prepared? Was it like a steak or was it?
It was a steak. It looked like a little filet mignon.
Okay.
I want to say it was like 3 or 4 ounces.
I mean, that sounds pretty good to me. And then you went, what did you do? Did you do the Kobe first as well, or you did the Wagyu first?
I started with the Wagyu.
Was it like, were you like seeing colors and like
music playing? It was just so, it was so unique. It was like nothing I've ever tasted before.
Yeah. Is it addicting? Is it like you want to have it again, or was it more of a one-time thing like, oh, that's kind of cool?
It was kind of a one-time thing. I mean,
yeah.
I'm looking forward to our steaks in a couple weeks at Shula's.
Mm-hmm. Because there's a couple places you can get that on property. I believe Teppanito, you can get a Wagyu upgrade.
Yeah, you can. I would like to do that again.
Teppanito?
No, Teppanito. Definitely. But I would like to try the Wagyu again.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to have it in like more of a standalone situation.
Yeah, like just a regular steakhouse.
Gotcha.
But again, I can't imagine what you would pay for it. Mm.
Yeah, especially in the U.S. where it has to be imported and everything, yeah. So that's pretty good. So now that's kind of the end of your main courses. Like that's kind of the finale. Now you're moving on to, I guess that would be called, Susie, you could correct me if I'm wrong, that would be the denouement, the point that everything leads up to and the rest is just a slow coast down to the end. You like that, Bill? Using literary terms.
Very, very nice.
Thank you. I'll be super pretentious for this episode.
Very appropriate.
Then you got a cheese course.
Yes.
How was that? You would think, now, see, to me, that seems like that would be early on. To have that late in the meal is a little surprising to me.
Did they explain the reasoning behind that? Didn't they say something about in England? Because this predicates on, you know, English, England. And he explained that. In France, didn't he say something about
in France
it's at the
they
beginning?
Do it early.
And in England they do it late. Yeah.
It's traditionally a dessert course in England, right? As opposed to an appetizer?
Yes.
Yeah. So this was basically your first dessert was the cheese course.
Yes.
Yes, yep.
And how was that?
Ridiculous.
This was probably my least favorite course.
Okay, you weren't a huge fan of it?
Well, she didn't like the blue cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my god,
it was
so good, Bill.
I love blue cheese.
Oh, and this is like the real deal.
Like stinky, like you could smell it from across the room, kind of.
It was gorgeous.
I love that.
Terrible.
I like when it like makes a corner of your eyes water when you bite into it. It's that's how like strong it is.
It was creamy too. It was like butter.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of accompaniments came with it? Usually they have like a honeycomb or some like raisins or something.
Yeah, there was a honeycomb.
Yeah.
Now, did you do all that or did you just do
I did everything. They had some nuts. They had a dipping sauce for the for a little piece of bread, raisin. Yeah, I ate everything on the plate. Yeah.
I mean, did you pair the cheese with the accompaniment or did you kind of just go through one by
one? No, I went from left to right.
Okay.
I went from left to right.
And they say you're supposed to do that, so you start with the least salty cheese.
Yeah, I did. Oh, so I did like it the way that they suggested.
Mildest to strongest.
Yes.
So for you, the blue cheese just kind of ruined it for you.
Yes.
Okay, I can understand that. That's a strong flavor, and it's very much a flavor you have to be. You're either with it or you're against it. You know,
you're
not
in or out. Yeah.
You're not on the fence about strong blue cheese.
And
you know?
I almost omitted it. But they said it's like one of the best, it's rated one of the best blue cheeses in the world.
Oh.
I'm like, well, I have to try it. I'm like, because maybe there's something about it that's going to change my mind.
But no.
But no.
So now you know that the best blue cheese is worse than a bad blue cheese for you.
Yeah, right. Correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, give me a brie any day.
Yeah.
Or an aged cheddar.
Now, did they give you anything in between the cheese and this chocolate here? Or was it just like right into
then,
it?
Then they bring out the coffee.
Oh, okay. So I saw this coffee thing. Is
yeah,
like,
they fire up the coffee, which they said what was this from like the 1800s? This
yes
model.
It looked like
can
a
you
bad
explain
scientist
how it works?
Like
lab yeah, it's like
instrument.
Beakers and test tubes and all this stuff. So it's a filtration system
mm-hmm.
where they heat the water in like a glass.
It almost looks like
almost.
An hourglass, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or like a kerosene, like an old school candle.
Right.
With, like, the floating wick in it. And then they put the grounds in a funnel, a glass funnel, that sits on top of it. And something about the pressure sucks the flavor into the bottom, but leaves the grounds in the top. And it, what did they say? It took, like, 12 minutes or something.
Yeah,
to 12
or 15 minutes to start. Yeah. Once
you're
going to
buy one of these contraptions for your house?
He actually said that you there is a website where you can purchase these.
Wow. I mean, did it make the coffee exceptional, or was it just like, oh, it's pretty good coffee?
No,
the coffee
was amazing.
Yeah, the coffee was exceptional.
Do you think it was the grinds or the preparation or maybe a combination?
I think both.
Yeah.
Like, the coffee itself was insane.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I mean, I'm a coffee lover to begin with, but, like, when they started brewing it for the table that started before we did, it was all you could smell.
Oh,
it
really?
Smelled so good.
Mm-hmm.
And it
that
just kind
nice
of
smell.
Wet your appetite for it. It's like, I really want that coffee now.
So that's perfect in between the cheese and then waiting on the chocolate to get that tease of waiting 12 minutes for the coffee to go.
Right, but actually, there was a surprise course before the chocolate.
Surprise.
So they brought out an additional dessert. And this was another instance where they made a special accommodation for me.
Okay.
Because the one that they brought out to us was banana-based.
Oh, right. That's another thing you're not a fan of, bananas.
Right. And I didn't even think about it. I didn't even mention it when I, you know, gave them my preferences. And then they brought this out. And, I mean, I'll eat bananas. Like, I'll eat banana bread or, like,
right.
a banana blueberry muffin or something. This was not that. And so I was like, well, it's Victoria and Albert's. Everything's been amazing. I have to give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just way too banana-y for me.
Yeah.
And for me, it was delicious.
I saw they had the same thing. Because it was like in a candy like cone with the caramel sauce on top, kind
of. It was like another one of those things that they roll out and like do 17 things to before that gets to the presentation part. And so Sherry came back to check on us and see how we liked it. And I actually said, unfortunately, I said, I don't care for banana. And she said, oh, we'll get you something else. I said, well, no, that's not necessary. This was what you prepared, and I didn't tell you that I didn't like banana. And she said, no, how would you have known that was a surprise course? And so they actually went, and they brought me a creme brulee.
Ooh.
Which was incredible.
They just had it ready to go. Just, oh, we'll whip it up.
They went downstairs. Yeah. They got it from the Grand Floridian Cafe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Which is ridiculous. Your server runs downstairs to the Grand Floridian Cafe and asks them to make up a special.
That's crazy.
And when she said, no, 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 I don't want anything, 100% of restaurants are going to say fine.
Yeah, right.
They're not going
to
go
like,
that.
No, we have to have you. Yeah. Like, you have to get something that you like.
Yep.
Should have been like, bring some more of that Wagyu out. Have a little bit of that. Throw a couple of flakes of chocolate on there. We'll be good to go.
Yeah. and then they brought the chocolate.
Okay, bittersweet chocolate dome on praline crunch. That sounds like a perfect dessert. Like, that's something I would definitely order
like,
as a dessert.
This was where I tapped out.
Oh, no.
I ate a couple of bites of it, and then I brought the rest back with us because it was just so rich.
I can't even imagine.
And I was so full.
But it was good.
Like, you know me well enough to know, like, I don't, like, for lack of a better term, like, I don't wuss out when it comes to dessert.
Yeah, you're not going to tap out on a chocolate dome.
Right.
Yeah.
But I had no choice.
Right.
Because I was like, if I eat this, I'm going to throw up. And I don't want to throw it up because it's that good. Yeah.
How was yours, Bill?
It was good.
Yeah. Because you're not, you usually wouldn't get a dessert.
No, this I wouldn't kind have of had meal, that. Right? No. Nope, I wouldn't, but.
Did it, was it like a perfect exclamation point to the meal or did it bring it all together?
Yeah, it was good having it with the cup of coffee. Yeah, it was a good ending.
Nice. Kind of lets you sit back and take in everything that you've just gone had and everything. That's cool.
Yep.
That's the most normal thing on the menu. Like, I feel like that's a dessert that you would see on any menu at Disney. I'm not saying the preparation would be the same, but like that item could be offered. Like, all this other stuff, you wouldn't even see it on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, if they had that exact description on the Citricose menu, you wouldn't bat an eye. But I'm sure the preparation wouldn't be as good. So
correct.
Very cool.
And then we got the coffee.
Got the coffee. And just enjoyed everything, I imagine, at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought out the chocolate.
Oh, boy. Wait, more chocolate after the chocolate dome?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know about this.
Yes, so friandise actually means sweetmeats. So it's the pastry chef makes these chocolates in-house.
Oh.
There were, what, like 7 different types?
What's it, like a Whitman sampler?
Yes, except they bring it out in this like huge like mahogany box.
Oh, jeez.
With like velvet lining. And like they open it up and it's like choirs of angels sing. It's insane.
Do you get all of them or you just have to pick one?
No, you can get all of them.
Oh, my God. Did you like put them in your pocket?
Nope, they wrap them up. We were so full. The only thing that they weren't able to wrap, they do a cherry cordial.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually tried that, and that put me over the edge. Like, I shouldn't have eaten that. But I had to try it.
Can they not wrap it because it's alcohol or because they just, it would ruin it?
It just doesn't hold up well.
Oh, okay, it would break or something, yeah.
But we brought everything else home. And I had said to Mike afterwards, I was surprised because, you know, technically, like, we each should have gotten to try as many as we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And when we asked them if they could box it up, they only gave us one of each.
Oh, okay.
Instead of two of each. So I was a little disappointed about that. But
they'll hear about
like,
that on your Yelp review.
Some of them, like one of them was just as simple as like a dark chocolate covered orange rind.
Mm-hmm.
Which was stupid. Like somebody said to me, have a dark chocolate orange rind. I'd be like, nope, I'm all set. I'm good. But I ate it and I was like, why have I never had this before?
Right.
But there was a sea salt caramel something. There was a hazelnut praline something. Like, they were just all ridiculously good. And Mikey doesn't really know because I gave him, like, one tiny little bite of each thing.
That's right. Yeah. I'm sure he wasn't all broken up about that.
That's something
you really will savor where he would just be like, oh, this is pretty good.
Yeah, right. It's no different
from actually, I'm going to be honest. Like, I think there's half of something still left in the fridge. Because he was like, you have to save me some of it. And, like, I saved him, like, one piece.
It's just been sitting there for 4
and
weeks.
And I still haven't had it.
And I'm like, screw
it,
you. You haven't had it. Like, that's probably going to be eaten this weekend.
Good move.
But it was amazing.
And then you were there, what, 3.5 hours?
Oh, God, no. Five.
5 hours,
We were seated at, like, 6:15, 6:30, and we didn't get out of there till about 11:30.
Is that normal, or would you guys really milk it?
No, I think that's normal, because, like I said, they stagger every 15 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all, like Jack said, I said, it's kind of funny because we're all, you know, the first table was maybe a course or two ahead of us, and then we were so, but toward the end, everybody was starting to have desserts at the same time.
Oh, okay.
So but I think it depends, too, on, like, how many upgrades you do, if you do the wine pairing and all that stuff.
Like, we were seated, we were the third seating.
Second.
Or the second seating, and we were the third to leave, right? We were the next to last because there was a young couple who
got engaged.
The kid proposed.
Oh, did everyone clap?
It was very cool. She could tell you, Jack came over and He looks at us and he whispers, he said, "The young man is going to propose."
Enjoy. I think he actually said the young gentleman.
The young gentleman is going to propose.
Did you say gentleman?
Hello there. How did they do it? Remember the restaurant manager came over and he brought over a dessert or something,
yes,
right?
Yes, so they had crafted this chocolate rose and the ring was resting on, like, inside the rose. And so it was this big silver domed platter that they brought out and they revealed it. And I think they had piped "Will You Marry Me" on the platter and chocolate.
Makes Alan Fieldhouse seem like a pile of dog poop, doesn't
it?
That's
what I said. And he's like, no. He's like, that's still the best proposal ever.
You don't like that shot, did you, Bill?
No. We're going to move on.
Moving right along.
But it was really, really cool. And I like the other three, like, we were celebrating our anniversary. The couple who was there, who had been seated first, was celebrating their anniversary. And then there was another couple from, I think, somewhere in South Carolina, because she had a very southern accent. They were celebrating their anniversary as well. So it was kind of cool to have, like, three anniversaries and then a new engagement.
Nice.
And, like, y'all kind of become friends because you've just been sitting there for so long. And, you know, when people leave and they go up to the table, "Good night, guys. Have a good night." Like, it's kind of cool because you kind of make friends throughout that night.
Because the really southern couple was seated after we were.
Mm-hmm.
But they were slightly ahead of us, so they got their cheese course before we did.
Yeah.
And she made a face at one point, and I asked her, I'm like, "I'm sorry, I'm like, I have to ask what you just ate," and she said the blue cheese.
Oh, so she was like you, she didn't wasn't a fan of that. Well, we're going very long here, so we should probably take another break and just get your final thoughts after the break. What do you say?
Sounds good.
Stairway to paradise with a new step every day. I'm gonna get there at any price. Step aside, I'm on my way. I've got the blues, 'cause up above it's so fair. Shoes, come on and carry me there. I'll build a stairway to paradise with a new step every day.
Back from break, episode number 237 is in the books. We discussed everything about Victoria and Alberts.
Actually, we haven't discussed everything about Victoria and Alberts.
Oh, okay. Mousekeeping.
Because when we left, they packaged up my chocolate dessert, the chocolates that we were too full to eat, and then each woman who dines with them gets a red rose, a long-stemmed red rose. And then they also, I don't know if it's in the whole restaurant or just in the Queen Victoria room, but they give you a date nut bread to have for breakfast the next morning.
Oh, wow.
So it's just a little loaf of bread. And then your...
More bread.
Your commemorative menus.
Very
so
nice.
So menus had the date on them. It says that we dined in the Queen Victoria room, and it says happy 10th anniversary with our names on
them.
Oh,
nice.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
And then they do pictures at when you're leaving in front of the flowers. So we did a picture with our servers, which is our Por Favor Facebook profile
right.
picture. And then Kristen and I did one, and my phone was dying. You know, like when, you know, your phone's like 2 years old,
mm-hmm.
and it's got 20%, and you go and take a picture, and it just shuts off.
Yeah.
So she said, "You know what? I'll take a picture. Give me your phone number, and I'll text it to you later tonight."
Oh wow!
And that's what she did, and I mean, it's just amazing.
But I mean, everybody came around during the meal and talked to us too. So the maitre d' came over, and he spoke to us.
Maitre d' came over, I think, twice, because then the manager came over and talked to us mm-hmm. too.
Did the chef come out? Did you get to meet the chef?
No, we didn't get to meet the chef.
He's probably busy with the chef table thing.
He's
too.
Been there 22 years, Scott Hunnell. He's wow. the executive chef. I guess he oversees all the restaurants now.
Oh, does he?
But he does all the restaurants at the Grand Floridian, but he still cooks in the kitchen at Victoria and Albert's.
That's cool.
Yep, he's been there forever.
But the other couple who was there before we were, did they say that they had the chef's table?
No, they said they could never get it. They said they had it and they gave it to a celebrity.
They got it bumped. They yeah. got bumped for a celebrity.
Oh, I would be so mm-hmm. mad. At least tell me who the celebrity is. Imagine if it was some like third-rate celebrity, like some reality person, like it was Snooki.
Scott Baio or something. Oh, yeah, that was
like, sorry, you get bumped for Snooki. I'm like, oh. I mean, if it was like, I don't know. I can't think of anyone that I like. That's bad, right? I don't like any celebrities.
But that's like we were saying, yeah. like, oh, Brad Pitt has your table. Like, oh, great.
He won't even appreciate it. They probably don't even make a pay either. Oh, well.
So what do you think, Bill, after listening to this?
Sounds good. I'm hungry.
Well, you think you would go?
No.
You wouldn't go?
I mean,
Sarah wouldn't eat most of it, right?
I don't know. She's not, like, super picky, but she's also not, like, fancy. Like, she wouldn't enjoy... Oh, she might like it. I don't know. I just feel like it wouldn't be worth it.
Is there one of you that doesn't like seafood, though, or is that one of your sisters?
Definitely Mary doesn't like seafood.
Okay.
But, yeah, she likes some seafood, not all seafood. I just feel like, just with her, that just knowing how much it is, she wouldn't be able to enjoy it. Like, she'd just be thinking about how much money we're spending on it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and like we definitely had, like even though we knew, we still had sticker shock when the bill came.
Yeah, because 200, it's, I think, what did it say?
It 235.
235 a person.
Plus a couple glasses of wine, an enhancement.
Plus $50 in wine, $55 for the Wagyu.
Now you're not getting any tables in Wonderland or AP discount, and then it's straight up.
So you're at like $700 then tip on top of that, so.
It was close, I think I looked at my credit card, it was $720 for the night.
After
and that
the
included
tip.
The tip. Yeah. I gave them a... obviously more than 20%.
They were insane.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing that was crazy, like, it was, like, almost emotional at times. It was like getting married. I mean, the experience was just unfreaking believable. And you look at the couple who took care of us, mm-hmm. and they were in sync all the time. It was like, you know, they got to have a bad night. But, like, they just gave unbelievable service. And that's, like, what they do every single night. And they have to be on their game all the time.
I mean, if you think about it.
What did they say? They go in at, like, 3:15 or something.
Wow.
They said they
getting ready.
They actually prepare. She said that her husband actually prepares. He looks at the names of the people he's going to be serving.
Mm.
And he has a list of people who have already dined there.
Oh, wow.
So like he'll welcome you back.
He can welcome you back. And yes. I mean, it's stupid. And the other thing that I found amazing, I asked her if they have sommeliers, and she said, "We're all sommeliers.
Oh,
we're all trained sommeliers. So every waiter and waitress there are trained sommeliers." I mean,
and her husband had actually gone to culinary school with Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and she had a restaurant background. I think she said her parents owned a restaurant, so she
in Maine, I think
she cooked and served. So like these aren't. I mean, these are
top of the line.
Yeah, I mean, just yeah, I mean. I remember we were talking to him at a few times, and you asked him, where did he go to that French restaurant in California?
French Laundry.
French Laundry. Yeah.
That one of my friends was actually at last night.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very fancy.
So now I want to go there, too.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, it was an experience. I mean, $235 a head, I don't care what they give you for food, you can't justify it.
Well, right. I mean, it's not, you're not going once a week. It's not like, oh, I'm in the mood for Victoria and Albert's this week.
Right.
But literally, like, you can't replicate that experience
no.
at very many places. Like, it's by far the best meal we've ever had.
Right. And you also said, like, about the servers being fantastic. Think about those, you know, the people that go there. I'm sure they get repeat customers, but I guess probably, what, 90%? It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing? 95% once-in-a-lifetime thing?
We asked that question.
We asked it. It's even close. They get a ton. He said, I think he said it's 50-50, didn't he?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. He said, we have people, locals, who come once a month from Orlando. He said, but he said it's about 50-50. I thought it would have been in the 90-10, maybe 95-5.
Yeah.
But no, he said they get a ton
of repeat business.
That's crazy.
Because like he said, you know, what did you think? He said, this is your first time. You probably thought it's a once in a lifetime. He said, do you think you'll be back? And we're like, yeah. He goes, exactly.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a value proposition. It's like you say, you stay at the Grand Floridian, you're not getting $600 worth of hotel room, but if you feel like you're not being ripped off, then it's worth it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys had the experience, and obviously you were happy with it. It's not like you came away like, you know, kind of, maybe could have been 150 ahead or something. Like, you know, you weren't like looking at it like, at the end of the day.
No, I didn't have any buyer's remorse.
I didn't have either.
Like, any, like, we never should have spent that much money on this meal.
Like, the sticker shock honestly, of a mortgage payment for food is a little high, but at the end of the day, right. You know, you're like, well, it's a, you know, even if it's a once every 10-year thing, it's still... Like, okay.
And I like, we've eaten in some really, really great restaurants, in my opinion. Like, we've had some great meals. Like, we ate a ton of really good food on our honeymoon.
Nothing comes close to this.
Nothing. Like, this was, like, better than all of them combined.
That's crazy. Like, I feel like it can't live up to the hype. Like, even after hearing you guys, who I trust, I still feel like it can't be as good. Like, how can something as simple as food be that much better than other people that do it? Like, it almost,
we talked about that too. We're like, we're sure that you can go certain places and get a dish that's as good as one of the dishes we had.
But not 10. Sure.
Like, they're literally, like, you know, the Five Diamond thing and, like, all that stuff. Like, there's a reason that there are so few restaurants.
I mean, they said inspectors go in there personally and just walk around and inspect and do this and do that. I mean, it's very stringent to get those awards. But, you know, and like when you're talking about food and how you don't think it could live up to it, I just noticed that you could taste every ingredient in every dish.
Yeah.
One didn't overpower. I mean, it was just...
perfectly
balanced.
It's
hard to explain unless you do it, you know?
Yeah.
And the thing is, like I'll admit that I'm much more pretentious than Mike is.
You don't say.
But it didn't feel... It wasn't a stuffy, pretentious experience. Like, it was high-end... But, like, you weren't uncomfortable.
No, right? no, because it was just regular Joe's. Like, you know, like they say about you, people think about the Grand Floridian, how only rich people and snobs stay there. No, people like us stay there for a special occasion, for a weekend, if we can get the Florida rate discount. But Victoria and Albert, you know, I thought going in there, they were going to be CEOs and high-dealing people. And
there may very well have been.
And there may very well have been, but you got a UPS guy. You got a kid who's 26 years old who probably put every dime he had for
his proposal
9 months to propose to his girlfriend. So I wasn't sitting there feeling inadequate at all.
Yeah, like I thought we were going to be like the youngest couple in the room and everybody was going to be, you know, stuffy and like, oh, who are these whippersnappers? But it wasn't like that at all.
That's good.
But I will say that I think it would have been like a huge disappointment to have dinner there and then, like, go back and stay at Pop.
Yeah, you kind of need to be at Grand Floridian.
Yeah, I think, you know...
I think on the monorail loop.
I think ending the night, too, having a drink at Meisner's just was a perfect ending to the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you don't want to go to Petals and suck down 7 Bud Light drafts, even though I did have a 16-ounce bottle of Bud Light, but...
Yeah.
But I would almost sacrifice, like, I would say I would rather go to dinner at Victoria and Albert's again than stay at the Grand Floridian again.
If it came down to one or the other.
Yes.
Yeah.
If money was an object and we're like, well, we could spend, you know, $700 to stay here for the weekend, or we could spend $700 to eat that meal, I'm like, I'm going for the meal.
What about you, Bill?
You know my answer. I'm staying at the Grand.
Yeah, and you'll eat at the Pop Century food court.
And I'll eat at everything. Yep, yeah. Everything Pop. Yep. We're complete opposites.
Well, I think you pretty much covered all the bases here. I don't have anything else I need to ask. I feel like I've gone along on this journey with you, and yeah, it's definitely something that maybe at some point in the future, I don't know, we'll see. There's always the chance. You never know. My wife
like if
might
Mikey goes
me.
Into real estate and closes, you know, like a really big deal and he has a huge commission.
And
like,
I say that I'm going to fly you guys down.
Yeah.
If I become like the next $1 million listing agent and I'm making like $17 million a year, I'll take you down.
All right, appreciate it. $1 million listing parish.
$7 million listing parish.
Jeremy? Sell to Cha. Cha'll be on the show with you.
Yeah.
All right, bring us home, Billy. This has been a fun episode to record.
You can listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Search for us at Por Favor Podcast. Social media, Twitter and Facebook, it's Por Favor Podcast. Email the show, info at Por Favor Podcast. You can email me, Mike at Por Favor Podcast. Mr. Klinsman, go ahead. Podcast.
I am Gary at PorFavorPodcast.com and go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/PorFavorPodcast. Did you sneak Eugene in for the video or no?
No, we didn't get Eugene in.
He got thrown away. He was wearing a Slayer t-shirt. That's the first problem. He didn't even dress the part.
Yeah, he didn't. He didn't have the appropriate clothes.
He had jeans with holes in the knees and a Slayer t-shirt backwards hats. Like, how do you think you're going to sneak in here?
Nah, as soon as we walked in, Israel said, you got to go, bud. Sorry. You got to go.
So no video for this. No YouTube videos of this, but you have some other good stuff coming from this trip, I know.
We do.
All right.
All right, thanks for listening to episode 237 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro de los Podcast for Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, Susie and I down in sunny Southwest Florida. We'll talk to you next week.
First stop on the Big Night Out episode is Orlando, Walt Disney World. The restaurant is Victorian Albert's, located on the second floor of the Grand Floridian Resort and Spa. And it's one of Florida's only AAA Five Diamond restaurants. The chef de cuisine is Scott Hunnell, a position he's held since 1995.
Why don't we begin by just a little bit of the philosophy of the restaurant here, because it really is very unique, not only here on the property, but in the state of Florida.
The restaurant is unique because it's really a pinnacle of dining at Walt Disney World, and we really focus in on all the layers of dining and being taken care of in this luxurious environment by this great service staff, and then of course the talented culinary staff. It's our life's work here in this restaurant. Absolutely. That's kind of how we see it.
The ingredients that you're using here in the restaurant, there are some global ingredients, but also your focus is really about Florida products.
Absolutely. We have some wonderful farmers here in Florida, and we utilize them. And some of the same purveyors we've been using for over 17 years in this restaurant. So we focus on the local product and add a little globalization to it.
Wine is also an important part of the dining experience at Victoria and Albert's. The maitre d', Israel Perez, and his staff of sommeliers have assembled a collection of over 700 different wines to choose from. When you come to dine at Victoria and Albert's, there are three options. The main dining room has 15 tables, and guests are served a seven-course dinner.
We only do degustation menus, so we really highlight that old-school thought of the chef's degustation menu. You get a selection of 3 to 4 out of each course through the seven-course menu.
Then, there's the Queen Victoria Room, with just 4 tables, 10 courses, and lots of tableside service.
Guests enjoy it because some of the talented cooks come out and they'll do a course at the table along with some of the finishing touches at the table.
The third dining choice is the chef's table, and it's the most sought-after experience at the restaurant.
We can do 2 to 10 guests back there, and it's full view of the culinary, interaction with the culinary. It's cooking demos really all night long.
Right.
Whatever dining experience you choose at Victoria and Albert's, you really can't go wrong. And the chef prepared some of his current offerings for us to taste.
That is the Gulf shrimp wrapped with a little Iberico ham, which is the Ponta Negra from Spain. Just incredible. So it's a nice melon sauce, which is our local melons that we get down in Oviedo. And then we got the honeydew melon on the outside and just a little watermelon salad. Really light and fresh.
Not only a beautiful presentation, but absolutely delicious.
You eat with your eyes. And so it really should be appealing. But however, the most important is the palate. So when you see it, and I say, this has got to be great.
Right.
And then you taste it, and then you just sit back and say, wow. And that's our goal.
The wine that you and Mr. Perez...
Yes, Mr. Perez selected a Sancerre, which comes from the Loire Valley, 100% Chardonnay. It's really versatile. It goes with either one of these dishes. That's why we figure we bring that on. This is one of those Maine lobsters, and we do a light painting on the plate with the fresh herb aioli. We do an olive oil powder in the back, and then olive oil in the front, so it's kind of two versions of the olive oil itself.
Really super clean.
For the dessert, we're very fortunate in this restaurant to have a master pastry chef from Austria, Eric Herbacek. He's a master in chocolate, master in bread making, and he does a Peruvian chocolate, which is a single bean chocolate. And then he just kind of makes a tube, and he sprays it with that dark cocoa, and then wraps it with that beautiful little cylinder.
Really incredible. Delicious.
And then Israel chose this silver oak from Alexander Valley, 100% Cabernet, that goes really nice with a kind of a hearty, creamy chocolate like that.
Mm. That's perfect with the chocolate.
Wonderful.
Perfect. Chef, I can't thank you enough for picking your brain a little, chatting about food, something that you and I quite enjoy.
Truly.